I had an interview the other day with a very wonderful young lady, and she asked me a pertinent question. I thought maybe we might discuss it for the sake of all of you. She said that she had been trying with all of her might to study the Bible and to meditate on the things that were in it, and to try to figure them out for herself, to get the intuitive feeling about them. She'd been able to do this with many things, but one that stumped her was the mark of the beast. 666. And so she wanted to know if I knew the meaning. Well, it just so happened that God had given me this meaning. And I thought that perhaps that might be a good subject for discussion tonight, unless somebody else has something else they want to discuss. Anybody else have any questions? Would you all be interested in hearing about that? Okay. Let me read the chapters from Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven horns and seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and rich, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast for the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I've explained a part of this to you before, but I will repeat it for those who weren't here or those who don't remember. There is a tremendous movement going throughout all of the Pentecostal faiths today in connection with this mark of the beast. My young granddaughter has been involved in such a movement, and she came to me last summer and she said, "Grandmother, there is one thing I want you to make me promise above all things, that you will not let them put the mark of the beast on you." So I promised her faithfully that I wouldn't. And she said that this mark was appearing on people's foreheads and on their hands in Europe and in California. And this is going all over the place. And the people of the Pentecostal faith believe it with everything they have. They are giving so much power to the satanic force that he's apt to swallow them. Really. Instead of keeping the mind fixed upon God, there is so much dissension, there is so much actual hate put forth for those outside of their own realm. There is so much in the way of condemnation and this type of thing right here that it is simply unbelievable in the name of God. And so I feel very personally about this particular thing because of this, but also it was a wonderful experience when God revealed to me the true me, because it was in connection with the spiritual experiences that I went through when I was in India. Now, here it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now, the beast rising up from the sea represents the gross ego. That is the ego of the 5 senses, which has been crucified. Later on in this particular chapter, it tells about the wound in the forehead which has healed, and that it was made by a sword. The price that I paid, I speak only from my own experience, for the crucifixion of the 5 senses, of the gross ego, was beyond my power to describe to you. It was tremendous. Now, the 7 heads, of course, again, represent the spinal centers, and the 10 horns represent the 10 qualities of the mind. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, because the mind has the memory of that which has happened to the individual soul during all of the various incarnations which it has experienced, it is crowned with those. But each one of these experiences, in the sense that they are a mark of the beast, is actually in the name of blasphemy. Man is of the animal kingdom. He is the highest creation in that kingdom. But he is still of the animal kingdom, and we refer to the animals as beasts. So man, in his humanness, in his indulgence of these 5 senses and their control over him, then is likened unto a beast. And it is this beast which must be slain. And it doesn't want to die because it has total dominion over the kingdom. But this dominion is kept alive through the dragon, which represents the 10 qualities of the mind. Because everything that we do is registered in our subconscious mind. We do not forget those things which have made tremendous impact on our lives. These experiences, whether they be good or bad, in the human sense, which have really registered on our book of life. We do not forget them. Many of them, if they are unpleasant, are buried in the subconscious mind. I heard a very interesting conversation today at a restaurant by a man who was sitting at a table next to me. I wasn't eavesdropping, but it was impossible for me not to hear. He was talking to a young lady. He was an exceptionally brilliant man. And he had taken a particular course at a seminar and had apparently derived a tremendous amount of good from it. I had the overpowering desire to ask him what course it was, but I refrained from it. But he said many things that related to this conscious and subconscious mind and how the workings of these 2 facets of our consciousness governed and controlled our lives, either voluntarily or involuntarily. And he made a statement that in understanding how his conscious and his subconscious mind work, that he was able to work out many of the things that he had had hang-ups about in his lifetime. And he said another strange thing. He said, there is no such thing as constructive criticism. This I disagree with violently, because there is constructive criticism. If you are a master of your art, you can place before an individual who comes before you all of the things that need changing in their lives without making them feel guilty, horrible, like miserable sinners. You can do this because first, you must have love in your heart for God in that one. You must realize that it is He who has come before you in that form. It is also He in your form who, through love, is trying to help that individual to understand the things which are keeping them from their highest goal, which is their God realization, which are keeping them engrossed in these five senses, under the snare of the beast. It's a strange thing when you stop to think about it, that this person you call I, which you relate to your body, your mind, your soul, and you think of it as being you, is actually a beast, and that you are at its mercy. You have not come into the kingdom of righteousness. You have not come into the tremendous realization of the light and the power and the beauty and the wisdom, which is yours if you will but make the effort. And so you are content to be racked back and forth by these forces of good and evil within yourself. You are content to satisfy your desires. You are content to dwell upon them. The mind is a strange instrument.